When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Bookmarks. It's what you do is you pull the website up,
yep,
and you hit the three little dots, and then you hit add bookmark, and then you can just add the website that you want to drop the file in for Star Wars and Scotch.
Welcome to episode 86.
It was supposed to be execute episode 86.
Let me start again.
Execute episode 86, Kevin. In order.
Hey, I'm in a different room today.
You are. I love this setup. So I was telling Kevin earlier that some of you were letting me know that the traffic was getting in the way. So I told Kevin to move.
Or... the charity marathon is being produced in the studio and I am in my office.
I just want to be the hero of the people, Kevin. But know what? We're raising money for sick kids at St. Jude. So
this camera is ridiculous. This is our studio camera.
Kevin opened up with, how do you like the red camera? And I go,
I meant black magic.
He said black magic. And I was like, what? When do we get a $20,000 camera, Kevin?
I get confused because everyone's like, we need a red camera. And then you were like, oh, let's just get a black magic. It's like the in-between, the stepping stone to getting a red. So for some reason, my brain always says, like, oh, wow, I've got a red camera. So anyway, but welcome to episode 86 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's me and Tim.
Hello.
We are 3 days away? 3 days away from GCX.
Yeah.
So things are crazy over here at Rare Drop, but Obi-Wan's on, so... like we're here, like there's no reason for us.
You and I are gonna have a very busy day today, Kevin, when it comes to Star Wars. We watched Obi-Wan, we're recording Star Wars and Scotch, and then later on this evening you and I are going to join Alex and Molly on their podcast for Star Wars Explained, and we're going to talk about this episode again.
Yep. So I'm excited to and then on Saturday or Sunday,
I know, dude, we got the Star Wars panel.
We're gonna talk with them, Mark Thompson and Sawyerism. I'm the moderator of the panel. We're going to talk about Obi-Wan. We're going to talk about some of the announcements from Celebration and some of these rumors now that are popping up, which Tim and I are going to address today. So you've got a healthy dose of Star Wars. By the way, that one, if you want to tune into it and you're not going to be at GCX, it'll be on twitch.tv/raredrop, fb.gg/raredropco. Paul, what was the YouTube for that one? I always forget what the YouTube name is. It'll be on Rare Drop Entertainment. So if you go to YouTube and search Rare Drop Entertainment, it'll be up there. So that's where you'll be able to watch all of the King's Coast stage panels, which include us. It includes comics. Day one is D&D with Meteorian Corps and D20 Deathmatch, which if you're into D&D,
that's going to be sick.
And you have not checked out D20 Deathmatch, highly recommend. What an interesting spin on D&D and a way to do a match in 2 hours. It's basically,
will there be blood?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this year's going to be fun. I was just telling Tim, like, we've sold a ton of tickets over the past few weeks. I believe the hotel room block is either gone or almost gone. I'm not sure. So if you need a last minute place to stay, gcxevent.com/hotel. Or
you are not allowed to cuddle with me. You're not welcome in my room. Sorry. No.
Tim and I will be very busy with our families. We have our in-laws and parents and all that stuff there. So, which, by the way, if you're into dogs and animals, go visit my mom's booth. She runs an organization called Yorkie 911, and she has all of these animal apparel that she's making. And she had me pick out all of the nerd culture stuff. So she got Harry Potter, she got Marvel, she got Star Wars, she got Schitt's Creek. She got some Schitt's Creek stuff in there. So make
hello,
sure
you.
It's a Rosebud Motel doggy scarf. It's adorable.
That's so good. I love that. Very
so
cool.
Stop by her booth and say hello. And when you see her face, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that is Kevin's mom. So, yeah, gcxevent.com. Come on down Saturday and Sunday, June 11th to 12th, Orlando, Florida, Rosen Shingle Creek. Tim and I will both be there. You can go to Tim's thing on the floor. And
I still don't know what this is.
Okay, so they don't know. All right, yeah. So Tim has a thing on the floor. You'll be able to get pre-order some new merch for Tim as well. Yep. That's exciting. There'll be some merch that we found in a storage space from last year's merch run, the one before the barbecue. I don't know. Did that one have a name? Spring or something?
Yeah, that was just the spring launch. That was
the spring launch merch. I found three boxes of merch that we will be selling there. And you know, if you missed out on GCX 21 stuff, maybe there'll be some discounted stuff there too. So
fantastic.
Come hang out. And as always, drinking this focus. All right, don't focus. No. King's Coast coffee. Delicious. I don't know what blend this is this morning because it was made when I got here. So cheers.
Cheers. I'm not drinking coffee today. I'm chugging water, but I need to hydrate from the tears that I shed watching Obi-Wan. I tweeted this out and it's been really frustrating for me, and I've been trying to pinpoint why it happens, but every episode, especially when it has to do with Leia, and I think it's just the dad thing, but anytime like Leia and Obi-Wan like have a moment, or like Obi-Wan has like a moment with Anakin, I start to tear up. And at the end of this episode, Kevin, and he's holding her little, just cute little hand.
It was really cute.
It was really cute. And I'm just like, I started tearing up because I was just like, oh, baby girl, you've gone through so much. And this broken guy here he's gone through a bunch of stuff. And you guys are just two broken people trying to survive.
And that lady across the ship just lost her friend trying to save you.
Oh, my God. And she's just like drinking her sorrows away.
I mean, jumping to the end of the episode, I guess. What, Indira, that's her name, right? The Imperial officer that turned, I think.
I think her real name is Tala, isn't it?
Tala. Oh, maybe her real name is Indira and yeah. Tala. Anyway, Tala, when she said, I guess you're soldiers now.
Oh my God, dude. Oh, and she said it so just like quietly. She's just like, I guess you're soldiers now.
Yeah.
And I was it's a little stingy.
It's like between that Rogue One and then the end of Solo, like they're really starting to get in, and we'll obviously in the Andor show we're going to learn so much more about this, but they're really starting to get into like the seeds of the rebellion and how reluctant folks were to go against the Empire. That's what I appreciated about this episode. Rokin, was that his name? So you know, he's a freedom fighter, but he doesn't, opposite of Saw Gerrera, just leave it at that. Like Saw Gerrera was like, let's blow him up, let's insurgency, guerrilla warfare, let's take them all out. This guy's like, no, I fear the retaliation, because apparently he was in love with a Jedi.
He lost his wife. No, it wasn't just in love. They had a family. Like, they had a life together. He was married to... He didn't, like, say if she was Jedi or Force-sensitive, but she was on the Inquisitorial list.
Yeah.
And he lost her. And, like, that was big. And I think you're right. It's a lot of, like, going to Catalyst or to... any of like the books of like the ending of the Empire, or like showcasing like the Empire at its highest points of like just how intense all of this is for just the normal people and them trying to just survive. And they're doing a really good job of highlighting that.
Yeah, it's been the dots that are connecting are really poignant and really cool. I'm really enjoying the way. Is that fan too loud, by the way, Tim?
You're good.
Okay, good, because it's getting a little sweaty in here. So I'm really just enjoying the way the dots are connecting. And they're, you know, the whole time they were planning and they're like, we have to break into the Fortress Inquisitorius or whatever it's called. I was like, I know someone, there's someone already did that. You might want to contact him. he did that 5 years ago. He broke in. And I texted you and you were like, you texted me this morning. And you're like, really good episode. I was like, you would think that after the second time it got flooded, that they might rethink the entire strategy here on where the Fortress Inquisitorius is.
So, for those of you that haven't played Jedi Fallen Order, that scene is almost one for one. As soon as the glass broke, I was like, oh, Ben's going to force push the water. I was like, he's going to force bubble or force push the water towards the Purge Trooper, which was so cool. We got to see Purge Troopers again in IRL, because like the only time we've ever seen live action Purge Trooper was at Celebration for the panel for Jedi Fallen Order, which was so cool to see. And yeah, we have them back again, and they look a little different than they do in the game, but it's a Purge Trooper nonetheless. And that was really, really, really cool to see on the Fortress. Even in the game, though, there's
all different types of Purge Troopers, so whatever.
There's different classes. You know, you got like the heavy ones that have the big staffs and axes and hammers. Then you have more like the nimble guys that use like nunchucks and daggers, vibroblades, and it's cool. They're merging it all together. You're just like, you can go from one piece of content to the next, and it's just like, it's this beautiful little stepping stones you just get to skip across.
Yeah, no, it's we're really learning about, you know, when we meet Ben at the beginning, obviously no for it. And then we have to get to the point where he's peaceful. We have to get to the point where he can defend himself against Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And we have to get to the point where he's going to sacrifice himself to Vader. So there's still a huge gap that we have to overcome here, which leads into some of the news, which is that all rumors are pointing to season 2 being greenlit for Obi-Wan because the fan reaction has been pretty incredible.
My fear of this is, and you know, kind of like, we'll talk a little bit more about them kind of changing the way this was supposed to end, but I will say that this episode felt a little forced with how Ben goes from being just like singed and all burned up and being in a Bacta tank to then going into the ship and then like trying to like use the Force. And the last time, you know, just last week we saw him using the lightsaber, he couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through this episode, he's back to being almost Ben Kenobi again, or Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He was still a little sloppy though.
He was sloppy. I mean, like the way it just like he popped in and like I got excited. I was like, yes. But you saw on the ship, he's trying to Force pull just the little communicator and he couldn't do it. And even Tala was like, it takes time. You know, it's like you need to heal. And so like that was like the one thing where it's just like he went from like really struggling to then like being like master stealth man when he's like going through the shadows and cutting through stormtroopers and stuff. So
he did his spin, his little Obi-Wan.
There was a couple of moves where I was like, yeah, he's back. It was good. It feels a little forced. And so the one thing that I'm worried about with some of the news coming out, and this comes, I'm reading this from cinemablend.com, and essentially what they're saying is that Reva was supposed to die. She was supposed to die within the first couple of episodes to Vader, is how it was originally written. And then now with how things are going with her and how excited people are for Obi-Wan, it's crushing numbers.
Yeah.
They essentially are, and so this says, I mean, this is all a rumor. Excuse me. But she could, like, they want to keep her for season 2 of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, did they film it? Did they film two endings with, like, that's where I want to know.
I will read you this part. According to this report, originally the plan was for Reva to be killed by Darth Vader at the end of this initial batch of Obi-Wan Kenobi episodes. So by the end of this, she was supposed to die. But her fate has subsequently been changed. If this information is indeed accurate, Reva will now survive and return for the next Obi-Wan Kenobi starring story on Disney+. Although it's unclear if any footage was reshot to account for this change in narrative direction. While Making Star Wars shared some vague details about where Reva's story is going in the later half of Obi-Wan Kenobi, won't spoil those things here. So that's what I got.
I really thought the moment with Vader was going to be the, you know, you're kicked out of the Inquisitors.
Oh, when moment. He had her, when he was force choking her in the, in the meeting room?
Whatever he said, I told you what the consequences would be or whatever, however he phrased it. Yeah, but man, she's one step ahead. She's good. She's good.
She's very good. I was not expecting her to essentially hack Lola and turn her into the tracker device. But as soon as she said, like when she was holding her, I was like, this is interesting. It's kind of like manipulating Leia in a way to, you know, you've got the one thing you care about. She's holding on to. I was expecting her to just crush Lola. And then, you know, when she turns on her eyes red and it's like, ah, that's the tracker. I assumed that, like when she said she put it on the ship, I was like, you know, much like other Star Wars, they just kind of just throw a thing on there and pff, off it goes. But for it to be Leia's most precious possession, her most precious possession that she has, the only thing that she like really loves outside of, you know, her family and Ben, like this is her pet and now it's evil.
But now they needed a reason for her to not have Lola when we see her when she's older, because right. You tend to have the same droid like your whole life. So obviously Lola's going to get destroyed probably by the end of the season.
Did you know you can buy your own Lola if you want to?
I didn't have to know that to figure that it probably existed somewhere. But does it like float and talk to you?
I mean, like Hasbro made one and like it has legs, or you can put it on like a little stand. But it does the whole like beep boop boop boop. And
do you think in our lifetime we'll be able to have droids like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like drones already like have like following features and whatnot. It wouldn't be too hard.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah. I think but you know, in the next 20 years, Kevin, we'll all have our own Lolas, R2-D2s and C-3POs.
I was at Disney for a meeting on Monday night, and I love when the hotels put up the Galaxy's Edge ad with the R2 unit. So I kept walking by it because I walked to meet the person I was meeting, and then I walked on the way out, and I was like, I should take a picture and send it to Tim with no context, but I wanted to get home.
They had an R2-D2?
It's an R2 unit. It's a green and white R2 unit. And then they have, it's a picture op. So they have that. And then they have this whole setup behind it that is Galaxy's Edge. And it's like, visit Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World. And you can take a picture with the R2
unit. Oh, that's so cool.
But I ran out of time to.
Yeah, I would have looked at that. I'm like, that son of a bitch.
He's at Disney during GCX week?
Disney and didn't tell me?
Yeah, I know. But it was just a meeting. I was in and out. It's always depressing when you have to go for work and then leave right away and then you get mad. I don't know. I was like,
yeah, I mean, like, so I went to Batuu a couple of weeks ago, and it was honestly so packed. I just didn't even want to go into any sort of, like, Doc Ondar. We went the same weekend that they were doing a new item release at Doc Ondar, and it was, the line was so stupid long. I was so upset. I was like, hey man, I'm just going to go to Doc Ondar's real quick. I just want to see what's new in there. And there was this long line, like an hour long.
When I went, when it first opened, it had been open for what, like 2-3 months at that point. When I went, there was a line just to go look in Doc Ondar's. Just to look. There was a huge
nuts,
line.
Dude.
It was nuts. It's like, you know, like, hey, do you want to spend money? Stand on this line. It's like, no. I already spent money to be here. I'm not going to. Oh, God. But I did start the second Thrawn book. And they're already talking about meeting on Batuu, and then they had the flashback with Padme. So that's where I'm at. And now I think we went back to the current timeline in the Thrawn book. So we're moving along.
It makes you think about like Black Spire Outpost when you're like, you're there, and it's just like, man, like
Thrawn was here.
Yeah, Thrawn was here, and the Grisk were there, and you know, like they were doing this entire the mission that entire book is so much fun because you get to learn so much more about Thrawn and his relationship with the Grisk and things going forward, and it's really cool. I think that's my favorite book.
His buddy at the end of the first book goes and meets the Chiss Ascendancy, which
correct. He sends them off because he needs. Oh, have you met Ar'alani yet?
Just met. Like, okay, so he
really needs Admiral Ar'alani. She is going to be a key character in the past. And in the present, she's cool. She is a badass. I like her a lot. But yeah, also, I'm jumping around. Mark Thompson does a great job with Ar'alani's voice. And so I'm so excited. I was thinking about it, too, on my drive home from the gym. I was like, man, my first Star Wars book was read by Mark Thompson. And then I talked to Alex about it when we were traveling to a Star Wars Battlefront thing. And it's just like come full circle, and we get to talk about it all again this weekend. So that's pretty cool.
I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna try and make Mark do Thrawn like I have to.
I want to see what he turn like, because everybody, whenever you do a voice, you do some type of physical distortion to yourself to kind of like get into that character. I want to see what he does when he goes into his Thrawn voice.
You've seen Mark Hamill do the Joker, right? Where he curls up.
He actually does.
And he throws his head back when he laughs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I would like to see it too. He loves doing Yoda because Yoda's his favorite character, but I want him to do Thrawn.
Because he crushes Thrawn. It's just so good.
Yeah, is in order to, I guess. back to Kenobi. So
I guess there's just so much Star Wars to talk about, Kevin.
I know. So the new character they introduced, I said his name before, and now I already forgot it. Renko or whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought he was going to be Quinlan Voss.
Yeah. Last week. Yeah, I thought so too. I saw him show up and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. That was, I won't say it was a letdown because I honestly was like, it could be a little, but I don't know if they're brave enough to put Quinlan in live action yet. I feel like Cal would be the go to, not Quinlan.
Quinlan was so great in Clone Wars, but he only got like, what, two episodes or something like that? It wasn't a long time that he was with Quinlan.
He has the appearance in Phantom, but everything from Phantom is just derived from this.
When is Quinlan in Phantom?
He's in the background, and that's where the whole basis of the character comes from. They made the character because he's in the background in Phantom. They didn't put him there on purpose.
He was essentially just a back filler at that point.
They're like that guy's cool. Let's make him a Jedi who like lives on the wild side and is a Beastmaster type of thing.
Yeah, he's a hippie. It's great.
And he can when he touches an object, he can sense the force that has gone through the object. So if you gave him a lightsaber that belonged to somebody else, he could touch it and have visions of that person using that lightsaber.
Right.
That's his force speciality. At this point, I do not see Cal coming into the show. I don't think it's happening.
There's no point. Like it doesn't line up with the narrative. This narrative is all about Obi-Wan being broken, him saving Leia, Reva and Vader. Like it, and it's very Reva heavy. It's I want to know, and she alluded to it this week during the interrogation of Leia about the whole like I had a droid once and it was taken away from me. Everything was taken away from me. And I think she is referring to when Obi-Wan also said I had a brother and they were taken away from me and I had a new family. Reva, much like Anakin, was already she was too old. I think that she already had too much attachment.
Right.
And so when they brought her to the academy, to the Jedi Temple, she was probably a lot of trouble. She probably gave a lot of attitude. And so at that point, they were probably going to get rid of her anyways. And so that's probably why she feels abandoned and lost, because she probably wasn't doing all that well. And the Jedi were just like, eh.
Their opportunity to bring Cal in was this episode, because he could have been on Jabim and they could have been like, we know someone who's broken in that can help you. That was it.
Yes.
That was your window. Once that passed, there's literally, if they bring him in now, they're shoehorning and doing crappy fan service. Your moment to bring him in was this episode. And since he didn't show up, I don't believe he's
showing
up.
The way that Obi-Wan got into the Inquisitorial Fortress, it was damn near close to how Kessis did it.
Again, you'd think security protocols would get updated after the first time we went through this, but the Empire is that stupid.
It's been a bit since I did that final mission, but doesn't he swim?
I could have sworn he swims.
He swims, or you use like a little like glider thing, but you go to almost
some of the rooms that we went to were rooms that we went to when we were playing as Cal.
They did a damn good job of really bringing that to life. They nailed it.
Yeah, no,
but it felt, and I told you, I texted you that I was like, I really like how they ripped that scene from Fallen Order, but that's what it felt like. It really felt like a fan service moment of them like, we're not giving you Kessis, but here we'll give you the same building you've been to before and you'll enjoy it. And I did. I loved it. I loved watching Tala come onto the landing bay and seeing like all of the Imperial forces just being there. I didn't know that there was an Imperial presence on top of the Inquisitors and Vader. I thought it was purely designed for just the Inquisitors. And then now going even deeper, it's a freaking mausoleum. What is that about?
Wanted to talk to you about that. So What is going on with that? Why are they doing it?
So it's not in carbonite. They're in something else. There's a goddamn youngling at the end. What was that about, Vader? A little weird.
It looks like it. Well, first of all, that looked like the Master Skywalker, whatever shall we do, youngling. Not just any youngling. That
he has the freaking blast shield.
Looks exactly like him. My second thing is, it looks like Amber. It looks like when,
it,
you know.
It does. So what I was thinking is that it's not, they aren't dead. I don't think they're dead either.
Yes, that was what I thought.
And so what I think is that he's actually pulling energy from them. There's something with this room. There's something with that room and the substance that they are being suspended in. I think that he's either harvesting energy from them or they're going to be used for something else.
The thing
else.
You don't want to say and that you hate, just say it out loud. I know you're thinking it. Just say it. They're harvesting what, Tim?
They're harvesting their Metachlorian.
Thank you. And then
this is all going to tie into Pershing, and it's going to tie into the cloning process. It's going to be a lot. Who else does it tie into? It ties into the Emperor.
No, not just the Emperor.
Ties into
another Legends character.
Oh, it's Starkiller.
Yep.
Interesting.
So Grogu, Starkiller, Emperor clones, Bad Batch. Shit. It's all forming a very interesting picture.
But Kevin, like, if this is the proper canonical introduction to Starkiller, then does this change your outlook on the season two where you and I are going back and forth in Mandalorian about that being a cloning facility for the Emperor? Or do you think this is a part of them trying to make like more Inquisitors, but cloning them?
Here's my theory. Bear with me. It's going to be like a 3-minute thing.
Yeah, go for it.
Emperor Reed says, find something from Vitiate, the Eternal Emperor from the Old Republic, the guy who went from body to body to body and lived thousands of years.
Yeah, really scary
I want to do same thing.
Sure.
Force energy is so much that only certain body can hold me. Luke would have been a potential vessel. Obi-Wan would have been a potential vessel, which could be part of the reason he sacrifices himself. There's a number of options there. Vader is privy to this research because he's probably part of the initiative to, or at least in the know for this initiative to somehow make a clone body that can hold the Emperor's essence, right? Mm-hmm. Vader says, cool, that sounds fun. What if I made my own apprentice with the same way and kept it a secret? Which is literally the story
Vader has been doing this for a long time. I wouldn't say long time, but through like comics and stories, you know, you go back to who's the Indiana Jones female character? I'm totally losing my mind right now.
Dr. Aphra.
When you go to Aphra's story and she meets up with Vader, have you read that book?
No.
Okay.
You can say it.
So TLDR, just really condensed version. Aphra's on a planet trying to get this like special, this very old relic. She ends up meeting up with Darth Vader, who's looking for the same thing. They run into Luke. They run into Han Solo, all of these things. He ends up, instead, he wanted to kill her. He ends up keeping her alive to work for him. He's trying to create this army. He's trying to create a robot army of his own to take out the Emperor. This entire motive is to kill the Emperor. So I think that lines up with you. And what you're saying that Vader again is trying to find a way to take over his empire, get rid of the Emperor, and it goes back to the end of episode 3. My new empire. Your new empire.
He creates the Inquisitorium with the blessing of the Emperor.
Right.
But they all answer to Vader, and it's the way of skirting the rule of two. So there's part one. Part two would be the Death Trooper program. And like you said, he has Death Troopers that are loyal to him and only him.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it too. And then the last piece of it would be this cloning. If he creates Starkiller or some sort of apprentice, you know, we know in Legends and even in some of the canon that both the Emperor and Vader had apprentices that they were basically saying like the rule of two exists, but we're going to do our own thing anyway.
Yeah.
And then the Inquisitorium or the Inquisitor program was pretty much skirting the issue publicly, being like, well, you know, they're force sensitive, but they're not Sith. So there's this, I don't want to say his vie for power, because the Emperor is in power no matter what, and he stays in power the whole entire time.
Still a power struggle.
yeah, Vader is building something, and I have a feeling that the cloning is because the Emperor wants to find a vessel. I'm not detracting from that, sure. But that doesn't mean that Vader's not going to take the technology, the program, the knowledge, the science, and possibly find his own doctors and figure out how to do this himself so he can have that to go forward, and he can, you know, do what, and then it opens up everything we need to do for those video games, not necessarily make them canon.
Yeah.
But in the other side of it, here's the other thing. We now know that the Jedi are not extinct, that Luke was not the last Jedi or Obi-Wan. They are all over and they're in hiding, which opens up the door more for that video game because there's Jedi in that video game as well. Yeah. So the whole idea of the Jedi being gone has now been thrown out the window, which I think is a good thing. Because the Force is way too big, and the universe, the galaxy is way too big. You can't say universe. Galaxy is way too big to not have Force users all over it, whether they recognize their power or not. So, it's very, very, very much to me a setup for all of the Starkiller stuff. And Paul dropped in our chat that you know, he is a clone in the second one, and you know, the true Starkiller, we don't know if he's alive, blah blah blah, but they can retcon that at this point and just make Starkiller a clone through this program. Like, that's it. That's what he'll be. And he could be that Force sensitive clone, because that is the question. That is the question they have not answered. Can clones harness the Force? That is the question that we have not answered in Disney canon.
Yeah. And so I think the way that they're framing this up is I like that. I think the whole idea of like a clone being able to, like, from a biological standpoint, it would make sense. I mean, like, if we're looking at purely just like your M count and everything else dictates how strong you are, then a cloning of your body, a 1-to-1, you would have the same amount of M count, right? You'd have the same M count you had before you were cloned. So I think you're right. The other thing that I really like what they're doing right now is that they're framing Vader up to not be such a the attack dog. There's a line in episode 4 about, is in episode 4 or 5 where they talk about Vader being off his leash.
Yeah.
4. And so that's the whole idea of like Vader is no longer just the Emperor's mindless attack drone, right? He's not the Frankenstein's monster. He's not just like this guy in the corner who just does all of it. He's not the henchman, right? Like the way that Vader was painted in episodes 4 through 6 is that he was just like the mobster's henchman, right, to the Emperor. Right. There really wasn't a lot of meat on the bone when it came to Vader's identity until the very end. The idea of like him being Luke's father, and you know, the transformation from evil to good, and like, and that, but it's still just not enough. And so I really like the way that they're even just handling Vader now as like, again, going back to that, he's off doing his own thing, and now we're written. And you only knew that if you read books or comics, and now you're really starting to get to see it on the screen as well, that he's doing his own thing. I mean, all of that. The Emperor hasn't come in once. He hasn't mentioned the Emperor once. He hasn't said anything. Vader right now is the most strongest person in this show. He's the scariest person in this show, and I love it. I think it is so cool the way that they are handling Anakin Skywalker's story.
So Vader also, if you remember, you know, the betrayal to the Emperor, it made sense from the sense that like he was Luke's father and that's all we knew. If you go back now and all the canon material we have, it makes way more sense why he has been wanting
to kill this guy since episode 3.
Yeah, like not even from waiting. I'm joining the light side standpoint now. Like, no. He just hates his guts.
He hates his guy. I think what he knew from the start is that the Emperor was a necessary evil to get what he wanted. He was like, you know, I'm going to have to play on the dark side to get what I want, to make sure everyone's safe. And so, I mean, like, if you really want to get deep, that could have been just an ignorant act of love. You know, like, he really didn't take all of the, he didn't take everything into account. He was just going just from his heart. And so it's just like, man, like, it really does give Anakin more of a character. It gives him more backstory. You start to really sympathize. Like, I've sympathized with him. I feel bad for him. Because it's not like, you know, the line, he's more machine than he is man. And I'm like, no, there really is a man in there. There really is someone who's tormented. Go back to even the beginning scene with the back to tank and going back and forth. Like, I love that they are continuing this idea of a master and apprentice and the connection between them in the Force. They talk about it in High Republic all the freaking time. This idea of like the living force and everyone's, you know, bound together, and that there's this beautiful connection between master and apprentice, and it's still there, but that beautiful connection has been twisted and tormented, and just it's just nasty, because you can see it. They're like essentially sharing these nightmares together at this point. Yeah. Like Vader and Obi-Wan together are tormenting each other through their own pain. And so it's just like, it's powering up Anakin even more, because Obi-Wan is just present.
Avar talks about the Song of the Force in the High Republic.
Yep.
And you're seeing the connection that she talks about between, and she, you know, there's lines where they mention master and apprentice, and there's, you know, obviously, Skeer and what was his apprentice's name?
Yeah, Reeve? The Indira. No,
Keeve, Reeve. I can't remember. Reeve. Reeve. I think of Reeve Trennis. Trennis, I think.
Trennis.
No, you're thinking of Reeth Sylas from. Dang it. Comax.
There's too many characters in this.
I know. And now they're about to introduce more.
Now we're going back even farther with more characters.
But with Avar and then Skeer and Reeve. Skeer and Reeve have this too, because remember when Skeer has to go into the mind of the Drengir in the comics and all that stuff? And it's all, and it's like affecting Reeve as well. You're seeing, mm-hmm. they're going with these relationships and these bonds. I mean, that's the story. Star Wars is telling relationship-based stories. We see a lot of orphan-based stories coming to light in Star Wars in many different forms. But they're telling relationship-based stories. So now they're really focusing in this on master-apprentice relationship. And the beginning of this episode, they did it flawlessly, because you could see the torment in Vader. And it harkens back to, he still has good in him. I know it. Because I can, at this point, when Obi-Wan's going to fully reconnect with the Force, he's going to, they're connected, like you said. And that is how we're going to know that he still has good in him. And then it also goes back to Leia saying that is Leia says that in episode 6, I think. Or she Luke. Luke says it.
Yeah, yeah. He says, no, there's still good in him. It's when they're talking after
Endor.
It's in Endor. It's when
she goes to the
at night, and she's like, no, you can't. And he's like, I must. And yeah, it was like a little cheesy, but yeah, he's like, I can feel the good in him.
Right. But that's what they're talking about. You're seeing it firsthand between Vader and Obi-Wan and
this continues to intrigue me as to how they're going to loop in. And they've done a great job so far. And you and I have done, I think, a pretty good job of like, oh, I remember this line. And they kind of, they show it here. There's a couple of lines in like episode 5 and even in episode 6 where it's just like, it's Ben always talks in riddles. And so like, go to episode 6 and Luke flies off and he goes, well, there goes our only hope. And then, you know, Yoda goes, no, there is another, you know? And I'm just like, why didn't Ben think about that? Like, why, you know, if he's already met Leia, he knows who she is. Why wouldn't he think that twins would be a dyad?
He wasn't sure, because he even says to her when they're on Dayu, you know, oh, how old are you? When she's basically reading his mind. And she locked Reva out of her mind in this episode.
Dude, it was so neat to see, because she didn't even know what she was doing. She was just like, are we doing a staring contest?
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah, so she there's a good chance that even by the end of this, Obi-Wan's not gonna know that.
I mean, it could be a lot like, I saw a great TikTok video, and it was, I can't think of the creator's name. He uses a puppet to actually, it's a purple puppet, and he talks about Star Wars, and I think it's the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah, no, I follow him. Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about, right? He's great. So there is a question.
Ask him if he wanted to be on the show.
Oh, okay. I would love to hang out with a puppet. I think that would be so cool. So one of the questions was asked about how is it that the Jedi had no idea that the Emperor was the Emperor? Mm-hmm. And they talk about force dampening and how naturally he could do it, but he also had like this really cool device that he had in his pocket, and then the Jedi Temple that we all knew that was built over a Sith spot, and then it got, you know, cleansed, and then it got flipped over again, all those things. But one thing that he said was, you know, being able to, you know, we know that Jedi are able to disconnect from the Force, or essentially kind of just like lower their power level like you can in Dragon Ball Z. And I wonder if Leia is naturally doing that, because they still don't realize that she's force sensitive. They can't feel her power, right? But they know that that Reva right there, she's like, oh, you're very strong. But they don't like, they're not like, Jedi, or like, she's force sensitive, kill her. You know, it's just like, it's not, they're not handling her the same way I would think if they ran into anybody else that was force sensitive.
If they knew she was force sensitive, she wouldn't have been leaving.
That's what I think. I would have thought they would have just thrown her ass into the amber or whatever and just froze her. So I'm very curious to see if they'll explain that any more as to like, how is it that Leia was able to do so much without even recognizing, like almost Harry Potter style, is like when Hagrid's like, you ever made anything happen that, you know, you didn't know, you know, that, like, that's what I thought of, you know, she made the glass disappear and her cousin fell in. Like, that's what came to my mind. So I'm very curious to see like how they're going to handle this idea of someone who is very young and very strong in the Force, but is able to essentially, no one knows that she is that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they tie that up, because again, like you said, Obi-Wan's not going to know. He can't know that she can use the Force by the end of this show. And then, you know, we have to get to all those places that I mentioned earlier. So there's still story that needs to be fleshed out, which is why I actually think a second season might be necessary.
I think it's going to be necessary because like you pointed out, and I was thinking about this as I was getting ready, Obi-Wan can be left off in a couple of ways, and it could go Rogue One style, where it drops you off at the front door of Episode 4, right? This could essentially take you all the way until the moment that we see Obi-Wan on Tatooine against Maul. Like, mm-hmm. we could get a scene where, you know, it's Maul hunting Obi-Wan. I mean, a lot of people they want to see Maul again on live screen. We saw him at the end of Solo. You know, he was there. We know that he was, you know, doing his whole crime lord thing. Like, there's opportunities for, you know, a nod to that and how they could leave it right there. Or he could go off in a completely different. I have no idea where he would go. But I think they've been doing a really good job of closing things up and allowing you to have this really cool, seamless, just watch party. Essentially, you start off on Episode 1 and you go all the way to 9. And you've got all the ancillary shows and everything else in between to help tell those stories. And then it becomes this beautiful painted picture. And mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see as to how do you handle the ending of Obi-Wan? How they handle Boba Fett and how they handle, you know, Mando going into Ahsoka, and you know all of that because of Rebels, or you know that because of reading the Thrawn books. And so I'm very, very curious to see what happens with Obi-Wan. And we're gonna have to dive deep into the journals of Obi-Wan, the comic book. I would honestly love to go through those after season one is done.
Yeah, I'm down.
And figure out, okay, what happens with Obi-Wan? Because I've really been enjoying watching this show, but I know they're pulling a lot of content from the journals of Obi-Wan and that comic book series. So I would love to see either what they added, what they took out, what they kept, and how does it end?
I'm curious because I read something really cool this week. I think it was on Reddit. I don't remember where, but they were talking about, you know, how Obi-Wan got to the point where he was when we met him at the beginning of the show. And the best comment I saw said this. It said, can you imagine, you know, training this person and then, you know, they turn on you and your only goal is to defend yourself and you end up actually what you think is killing them. He thought he killed him. Mm-hmm. So the moment that the spiral begins mentally, and you know, the PTSD, whatever you want to call it, is when he says, I failed you, Anakin. And then from there on, it was just a slippery slope downhill.
I have failed you, Anakin.
Yeah,
I have failed you.
But that's the moment where Obi-Wan's character and his temperament and, you know, the person that we love throughout the Clone Wars series and the first two movies, that's where he dies, if you will, because in his mind, he failed, and the slope is going down, even though he had promised Qui-Gon and all that stuff. The other interesting thing that I read this week, and this is kind of segue out of Obi-Wan, in reference to what we discussed last week about them, you know, knowing that they need to reignite the Legends characters and write them into the show, you know, like Revan, and we were talking about, someone made a great point about bringing Mara Jade back. So at this point, Luke, when we meet Luke in Book of Boba Fett, which was the furthest point we've met him aside from Episode 8. When we meet Luke, he's older, or he's still young. He's almost reforming his theology of the Force. That's the way I can put it. So what if in this new Jedi Order that, you know, attachments, I know he made Grogu like give up the attachment. What if in a few years he does fall in love with this Mara Jade person and, you know, they get married. And then she does get struck down or killed or something by Sith, whatever it may be. Wouldn't that make more sense of how Luke gets to the point where he is in episode 8 than anything we've seen so far? And I was like, oh, damn, that's the perfect way to make him mentally spiral. His wife dies.
Yeah, I think that will also help explain why he flips on his nephew and wants to just kill him versus being like, Ben, let's talk about this. There's something wrong here. We need to, you know, go all Jedi, you know, meditation on this and really figure it out. No, he just wants to just cut him down.
He hesitates.
He does, but it's
we never actually know whether he would go through it or not.
Of like lifting up his lightsaber. And so how did he get to that point? And I think, Kevin, I think that's a really cool way to do it, because look at Ben when he loses Satine. You know, he loved someone. He loved her deeply.
Or even the fallout from Han and Leia separating, and then we see them in episode 7, like Han is a shell of his former self.
Yeah. And so I think this is going to play into it's going to play more into what they've really been developing in High Republic, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of and Luke talks about in episode 8, the idea of the fallacies of the Jedi Order. And so I really do think, you know, introducing a lover, someone that you can have an emotional attachment to. And Luke doesn't have that. Luke doesn't have an emotional attachment when he's there on that planet. When we see him with Mando and Grogu and Ahsoka, and everyone's peaceful and happy. How do we get to the broken, destroyed, unhappy, grumpy ass Luke in episode 8?
Yeah, I'm sure Kylo plays a part in that, but what's the only thing that could be worse than that?
Losing your lover.
Losing a child or losing your lover.
That's love so much. And we know that Luke doesn't have a kid. So yep. it's gotta be a lady. Well,
in Legends he does have a kid.
Or a guy. Oh yeah. I mean,
it's like, two.
Yeah.
Jason and Jaina Solo.
Which everyone thought
That was
Han and Leia's kids. Luke's. I don't remember. I remember reading the Luke and Leia kid books, though, when they were off on their adventures.
Ben Skywalker, that's his name.
Who?
Ben Skywalker. He names him after Obi-Wan.
That's so weird, because Kylo is Ben.
Yeah, Ben turns to the dark side in the comic. It's like a whole thing, and then he comes back.
Wait, so hold on. So they gave Kylo Ren that story?
Kylo is supposed to be Jason Solo, essentially, but they obviously change a lot.
Right, but I mean, like, so, but apparently Ben Skywalker is the same, almost the same style of, like, goes
Jason
the dark
and
bed,
Jaina
comes
deal
back.
With the dark side, too, like they all do.
Interesting. That is so interesting.
Yeah, and then there's this other Sith Lord named Darth Krayt who fought in the Clone Wars. And then
I've
he finds
heard
a way,
of Darth Krayt.
He finds a way
I've
to, like,
read the
animate.
Stories of Darth Krayt.
He like suspended somehow. I forget how he suspended animates his body, and you know, and then all of a sudden, 100 years later, when it's Luke's kids and whatnot, there he's alive again. And yeah, Darth Krayt is. Oh, Darth. Okay, Paul corrected me. Darth Krayt fights Luke's grandson, Cade. So that's how long he stays in suspended animation, because he's a Jedi Knight during the Clone Wars.
Yes, he was, and then he went a lot like Darth Malak. You know, was, you know, Jedi, and then, you know, went bad after the Clone Wars. I love that. I think that's so cool.
I watched a whole thing on Darth Malak this week, and I learned some stuff that I
or not Darth Malak. Who's the guy in Jedi Fallen Order? Not Malak. Who's the guy? Is it Malak? Nihilus? No, not Nihilus. Not Darth.
Nihilus is Sith. Is no, Coder
is,
2.
Is his name Malak?
Darth Malak is from Coder 1. He's
no. Who's who's the Fallen Order guy? Anyways, he was also a Jedi Knight during the Clone Wars. And then in turn, I love that. I think
Malakos.
There we go. There's too many Malak. That idea of, like, again, going to Ben Kenobi, and the idea of them witnessing Order 66 and all of these, like, these heinous things. And then also dealing with, you know, understanding that maybe the Jedi Order really wasn't everything that it was promised to me. Maybe I really was living a life of lies, you know. Mm-hmm. maybe they really were these pious, you know, assholes, and, you know, it just wasn't, you know, they really weren't worth my time. And so, like, that was the one thing that I thought was really cool. You go to Dathomir and he like lays it out for you. He's like, why would you want to do that when you can have all of this? You know, it's just like, oh, I could totally see why someone who's already broken, who is desperate and needs something to rally behind and hold on to. Dark side sounds pretty cool because the Jedi Order is gone. You know, why would you want to stay on the light side when you have things like Wayfinders that are essentially in the middle, or you've got, you know, the dark side that's kind of just opening it just opened the doors and is welcoming you with wide open arms. So I like the way that they're going with this. And like, now that the more we talked about it, I'm like, ooh, man, they really, there's a lot of options for them to go down.
So for on the news front, piggybacking off of that, you said there's a rumor for Ahsoka that you saw this week.
Yeah. So I've seen this rumor around on Twitter and I saw it in Google News and I thought it was worth bringing up. But we do have a leak, quote unquote leak, saying that Vader is to come back in Ahsoka. And you and I have talked about this. We feel like the only way that this would work is if it was to be a flashback. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only way to make Vader come back to life in 5 years after Death Star 2 blows up, is it mm-hmm. for it to be a flashback to, you know, Ahsoka and Anakin doing something together. You know, so if it actually is going to be Darth Vader, then potentially, you know, Kevin, it could be what happens after she fights and saves Ezra, you know, like mm-hmm. before that, the veil of the Force thing, and he rips her through. Like, we thought she got crushed and she died, but, and then Ezra like pulls her out. But like, what if there's more to that? Mm-hmm. You know, what if they go to that memory? You know, and so knowing that Vader will be there and it's Ahsoka, I think finally we're going to get that explanation of what the veil of the Force is. It would make sense for them to like go into whatever that was again, and for her to look back, or, you know, to go to a different moment in time or a different timeline, and to interact with Vader in a way is possible. Mm-hmm. It's plausible. So I think that's how they're going to play that up, how they're going to serve it up to us in the Ahsoka show with Vader, is that we are going to finally get that explanation of what the hell happened at the end of Rebels. Mm-hmm. Because nobody knows. We know that the Celestials are involved, right?
Yep.
We know that the daughter, the brother, and the father are involved to a certain degree. We know that the daughter gives her life to Ahsoka, her life power to Ahsoka. So there's definitely some tie in there. We know that the mother has yet to actually be discussed, other than
Legends.
Legends, and then we also have a nod to a character in High Republic called the Mother, which I thought was very, very interesting. We don't know much about her. We do know that she's the same race as our favorite
Markeon.
It's a mother. It's,
my name is Markeon Rho.
Markeon Rho. So we know that they're of the same race. We know like the House Rho. But outside of that, we haven't really heard of the mother, and she's terrifying. So could you imagine if like that's how they kind of like introduce her, and you know, we get more explanation of who the Celestials are and how do they fit in? Because when we meet them in Clone Wars with Anakin, and it was still kind of like, it was weird. And then we kind of got a nod to them in Rebels, but there really wasn't a lot there. And so now hopefully we'll get a better explanation as to what the hell's going on.
There, things like that are what differentiate Star Wars from being sci-fi to more just like fantasy in space.
That's what it is.
It's Mortis and all that stuff. Live action Mortis would be... That'd be like some Lord of the Rings-esque shit. So I'm down for live action Mortis. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of story to be told there, and it's going to harken back to a lot. And, you know, again, connecting dots, maybe this mother does have something to do with the Celestials.
Yeah,
and we'll find out.
Hayden has also said multiple times so far in his interviews, I want to be Vader as long as possible. You and I talked about this last week. This is his comeback. This is his redemption. This character, even though he has yet to really do anything, right? Like, we really haven't like seen a lot of Hayden. We've seen Vader. We've seen James. We've heard, you know, James Earl Jones' voice, but like we haven't really seen a lot of Hayden. So I'm really curious to see like what are they gonna do with him. As like, you know, we see him in the makeup and he's all burned and stuff. Yeah. Are we going to get like a broken mask? I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. And knowing that he wants to continue doing this as long as possible means that there's more and more opportunities for Darth Vader to again, let's go back to the beginning of the show. Darth Vader is actually getting the story that he deserves and the character development that is necessary for his character to not just be the attack dog on a leash, but he really is a person behind the mask who is struggling with a lot.
Does Vader, or does Obi-Wan apologize to Vader again in their final showdown?
I'll cry.
Do we get an "I failed you, Anakin" again?
I think so. They've done a really good job of playing on emotions really, really well, especially with Obi-Wan. I mean, like, I don't know how Ewan does it, but he tells a whole story in his eyes. Just the way that he just like the way that he looked at Leia and whatnot. There was so much there. I immediately went back to the thing of, you remind me of someone, you know, you remind me of a friend. And like that line popped in my head. He's like, oh, he's it's Padme and Anakin all over again. And so it is really cool to see the acting that is being put up on the screen, as far as just being able to just convey emotion. Mm-hmm. In a really, really unique way that really does just showcase just like how messed up Obi-Wan is. And I think you're right. I think we have one more fight scene that's supposed to come up, and it's supposed to be like really intense. Yeah. And so, yeah, for them to have like an intimate like conversation while they're talking, they already kind of had it, you know, like, what have you become? I am what you made me. Like that was so much. That was so intense.
And
that
will suffer.
Yeah. And it was just a couple lines and everyone's like, ooh.
Ah. I know. He says, your suffering has only just begun. That's what he says.
Well, yeah. And so it was funny. We were talking about it on stream yesterday. Someone was like, I don't really know what that was. You know, it felt like he was playing with him, but I mean, he's super strong. He could have just like,
oh, that, yeah. You and I was like, no, that's talking about that.
Yeah. It's Trip and I were talking about it. And I was like, no, but that's what it was. He was playing with him. The whole idea of suffering is not physical. It's mental. It's emotional. Like there's so much more to the torture. And so he wants Obi-Wan to feel the anguish. He wants him to feel the anger and the suffering that he's been going through these past 5 years. 10 years now.
I still think you're going to get your Ahsoka moment on Malachor with Obi-Wan.
Most definitely.
Because of the beginning of this episode, that's why. I feel like he's going to have that momentary, like, whether it's a look in his eye or something, but very like, Obi-Wan, you know, something like that.
We know that he can survive without his mask.
Briefly.
So, I mean, like, the idea of him having his mask, like, ripped off, or even, like, he fights with it, like, he just fights with it off.
Yeah, what if he takes it off as like a show of power? Like, look what you did to me.
It could be. I mean, like, I've seen conceptual art of Vader with just like without his top part on, and it's just like it's like just his like the legs are on and he's got a cape, but everything else is like exposed, mm-hmm. and it looks gnarly. So I would love to see that.
What's his name looked like that? The guy from Darth Sion from Coder One looked like that. He's like his anger is what kept his body intact.
Yeah. Cause he was falling Wild apart. Shit. He was essentially like a zombie, right?
Yeah. And his anger was the power that kept his body like connected.
And that's the whole thing with Vader's suit too, is that all of that is a torture device. Entire setup is designed to just torture the shit out of him.
Perpetual pain. Mm-hmm. Two more stories. And then we're off to, continue our day, and we'll be on, like we said, we'll be on Star Wars Explained tonight and then GCX this weekend. But the Mandalorian cast for season 3 is calling it dark and tumultuous.
Ooh.
And Pedro Pascal says it's better than season 2. Bold claim.
I think we kind of already knew that because we were going to Mandalore, and we know, especially with the one scene that we got where after the bombing, after the Tears of a Thousand,
Night of a Thousand Tears.
There we go. You know, we saw it. We got to see the TIE bombers do that, like hundreds of TIE bombers, like World War II style. It looked like invasion of Normandy, like the, you know, those scenes where it's like it's always like cartoons and they point up the spotlights and it's just a bunch of bombers flying over. That's what it reminds me of. The planet's been glassed, essentially. It's been just decimated. And so for the idea of them coming up on dead Mandalorian skeletons and armor everywhere and, you know, going deep underground and finding remnants of whatever's left over. It doesn't surprise me. This is going to be more of like a creepy horror style show.
I agree.
And we don't have horror in Star Wars. I'm all for dark Star Wars. I love dark storytelling in Star Wars because it fits so well.
Speaking of,
okay,
my last news piece, the rumors for Acolyte are apparently going to canonize the Sith lore from Legends.
Yes.
So the concept art that we saw for what's the planet where the Emperor is in Episode 9 from Exegol.
Yes.
So the concept art we saw for Exegol that featured all the old Sith lords like Malak and Tulak Horde and mm-hmm. Revan and all them. Those Sith are apparently going to be canonized in Acolyte. And then Acolyte will also feature, because we know we're not going to see an Obi-Wan, even though Tim and I had that crazy theory, will feature the live action debut of Corban, Morbon, depending on which part of the galaxy you're from. Yeah, now that show might be my favorite show.
Okay, so I mean, like, I knew right away when we got what Acolyte was about, when we knew that it was dark side oriented, right? You know, all about like the mystic arts, exactly. I was like, yes, that's my show. That is what I want to know about, because I mean, you're a big Knights of the Old Republic fan, and Knights of the Old Republic does a great job of really highlighting the Sith homeworld. You know, the tombs, the ghosts, like all of those things. And so that's something that we've really been missing is
go to Corban and every old Republic game reason.
And they even show that even on like Dathomir, you know, we got like a great look at like what mysticism is in Star Wars, because it's not dark side. It's not like the dark side of the Force. It's magic. And so the like magic lives in Star Wars. And I think that's so cool.
The Force is essentially just magic. That's what it is. Dathomir is dark side, by the way. It's just not.
It is.
Sith.
It is. But they can't use. It's not. It's like they're using it to. They're using it with the magic. Like it's. There's so much more in this universe, in this world, in the storytelling. So I'm really excited knowing that we are really going to get a lot of the questions answered as far as like, is that canon? Does this work? Are we allowed to say this? Because we don't know. There is a lot left over that we still don't really understand as far as like what is going to work in the universe.
Remember that bird race in Rebels that we met, that they were like very Eastern Asia, like very Buddhist? Do you remember them?
No.
We meet them in Rebels. They look like birds. They're like very enlightened. And to me, that's the opposite of the way the Night Sisters use the Force. Is this is the light side, like enlightened Buddhist mysticism, and they're the dark side, you know, evil dark mage magic user type things. You know, the Jedi and Sith are a piece of the Force. They are not the absolute pieces of the Force. There are plenty of civilizations like the Chiss that use the Force for numerous different things and tap into different sides. So I think, you know, getting into those stories and stuff. But this is going to be completely focused on the damn Sith, and this is exciting as hell.
Just like, so you talk about Chiss, Thrawn he actually starts to piece that together. In Ascendancy, he starts to figure out, he's like, he goes back to Anakin and they could use a thing called the Force. And so he starts to like piece it together of like, wait a second. He's like, wait, so does that mean that it's not just we can? And so he's like, he's really starting to figure out, he's like, oh, there's so much more to this, which is really cool.
This is very interesting.
Very interesting. I don't know, Loner.
Interesting, yes.
Well, that's going to do it for episode 86 of Star Wars and Scotch. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we'll be with Alex and Molly tonight doing Star Wars Explained. Did they do that live, Tim?
I don't know, Kevin.
I don't know. I should have asked Alex before I did this. But go to youtube.com/StarWarsExplained and hit the subscribe button. And if it goes live tonight at around 6, 7 p.m., that's me and Tim.
And if it's not Kevin and I, then oh boy.
That means it's pre-recorded and it will be posted as a video. So either way, you should subscribe to Star Wars Explained and seek me and Tim. Also because Alex is I go for most lore, and I watch his videos pretty regularly because he knows way more than I could ever imagine.
I love it when I told Kevin the first time that I knew Star Wars Explained. He's like, you know what?
That guy? The one that with the cool lore videos? Him? But yeah, so we'll be over there tonight, and then we'll be hanging out with them at GCX. So make sure you get your tickets to twitch.com, GCXevent.com/... God, my brain is like scrambled eggs.
We're
right
almost
now.
There, Kevin. We're almost there. You got
I'll
this.
Make it to Monday. GCXevent.com/tickets. And then you can go over to Tim's Facebook channel. Oh. I had to make sure I said that correctly. epi.gg/darkness429 live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. ish Eastern most days. And hang out with him, Darkness429, everywhere on the internet. I'm Raredrop GCX, so just go search for that stuff and you can come hang out with me. But we will be back next week. Don't worry. Episode 5, Obi-Wan, Tim and I will be right here with you. And the following week, we'll be there for the conclusion. And then we have, we're working on something special for the week after. So I'm going to work with Paul next week to make that come to life, hopefully. All right. Hopefully. But cool. We will see you either online at GCX or at GCX. Please feel free to say hi. I'm not hugging or high-fiving, so let's bump elbows or something. But I would love to have a quick chat and talk Star Wars with you. No head bumps either. No, that's-
And you know what, guys? Thank you so much for hanging out, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.